any of the show? You can get Scheman and Shepherd all the time with Scheman and Shepherd On Demand. Available on 99.3ESPN.com and iTunes. This is Scheman and Shepherd.
Getting there, John.
Scheman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
No, it's not that.
Is this a song you got confused with Smoke on the Water 2 weeks ago?
No, but I understand that. I understand. I can't think of the...
Still a good tune there.
Oh, great tune. Eric Clapton.
I think I broke rule number one of radio. We got off on so many tangents last hour that I teased something I get to later on, and I didn't follow up just yet. Crocodile Dundee texting in, is Craig going to tell us about the wave pool incident? You just casually mentioned a wave pool last hour.
We got sidetracked with Bieber's song and then whatever. Yeah. So what happened?
And I mentioned that's the closest I've ever come to dying. It was one of those water parks in Texas.
Okay.
They had a wave pool. I had never been in one before. And
they're overrated.
Yeah, apparently so.
They are. I've been in two, and I didn't have a really great experience in either one of them either.
All right. Well, here's the deal. I am an excellent swimmer. Always have been.
Mm-hmm.
I went in there with my son, who is not an excellent. He was young at the time. He was probably six, something like that. Mm-hmm. So I, as the parent, when he wanted to go in, I went in with him to make sure that, you know, he didn't drown or anything.
Yeah. Responsible.
Trying to be. He got away from me for just a minute, just a couple feet away. And then a big wave hit. And, I mean, they were bigger than I anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
And it separated us for a while. And he can't swim too well at this point. So I got to go in after him. Now I'm at the point where these waves are over my – if I'm standing and I'm 6'3", the waves were over my head. And I am sitting here holding him above my head so he could breathe, but I'm underwater. And it got to the point, wave after wave keeps coming, and I had to exchange back and forth between throwing him up in the air so that I can swim up, grasp some air, re-catch him, go back under the water, hold him up so he lives. And this happened for it seemed like an eternity. By the way, right underneath the lifeguard stand. Guy wasn't even paying attention. And this went on for a while. I kept trying to throw him back to the shallow end and regrouping. And
were
I had
you yelling
to do this
help or anything? Or?
I didn't have time to yell
help. Were there like throngs of people in the pool?
Yeah, there were over 100 people in the pool.
Nobody helping?
Nobody realizing that I was in trouble because I was underwater.
It probably looked like you were playing.
It did. And I was finally able to keep tossing him into the shallow end to where we got into like 5 feet of water where I could stand. And I don't know how long it took. This could all have been 30 seconds. It could have been 3 minutes. I don't know. But it was the closest I've ever come to drowning.
But I remember, you know, growing up on the beach in New England, all that, we had some good waves most of the time where I grew up in Rhode Island. So body surfing, I loved it. I didn't even like boogie board. I just loved body surfing. But you wipe out on the ocean, you know, it's not pleasant, but at least you got it's the sand. And sometimes there weren't a lot of rocks where we were. But you wipe out on a wave pool in a pool.
Yeah.
Not a good feeling at all. Is there nothing worse when you scrape your knee like in a pool or anything? I mean, when you get hurt in a pool, you get angry. Like, I mean, I can't imagine what that feels like to, like, be tumbling around in a wave pool and have no control. And then hit your head on the bottom. Oh.
Well, to your point, when you scrape your knee or something in a pool and you get out, you're like, oh, God, how bad is it?
Oh, yeah, I know.
And at first, it's not. At first, it's great.
Yeah.
And then after about 10 seconds, that rip just starts filling with blood.
And it's white. And
yeah. You think you're fine at that point. Oh, dodged a bullet. And then, boom, blood's gushing
out. I'll liken it to a raspberry on baseball clay.
Yeah.
Very similar. Yeah. They don't go away.
Yeah.
It's a flesh wound is all it is. Right. It doesn't go deep.
Right.
And it takes 18 weeks for that thing to fully heal. It's unbelievable.
You're right.
We were having all-star practice one time when I was 11, and we practiced sliding from second to third. And he goes, no. This is too easy. And he went and got a shovel and took all the puffy dirt in front and took it out. And we were sliding. It was like,
why? What? Why would he move the good stuff?
To toughen you up.
Toughen up.
It's a terrible idea. We had a.
This is what we did back in our day. We used to slide on cement.
Sliding day for our little league baseball team. You just. The coach would bring a bunch of cardboard boxes, and you just went to the outfield.
Boxes.
You went to the outfield, and then you figured out, okay, I need to land there. I got to chop my feet. I got to get to a point.
None of that. Nope, none of that.
Tua Hater says, you guys went last 15 minutes in an Air Force para rescue water training. Ask me how I know.
I mean,
I believe you.
Yeah, those six words.
Para rescue. I know. Well,
yeah,
you guys
para rescue.
Isn't there a scene in Top Gun where they do it in the pool where you got to get out?
No,
that's
the
Guardian.
Officer and Gentleman.
No, it's Officer and Gentleman. He's right.
Officer and
Gentleman. That looked intimidating as all hell.
It's the Guardian.
It's an Officer and a Gentleman because a guy died or he almost died.
Almost died, yeah.
Yeah.
With Kevin Costner and what's his name?
No,
you're thinking of the stupid one, not the Guardian. The Guardian's an excellent movie. It's with who's the guy that I'm thinking of? He's married to Mila Kunis right now. That's 70. Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah. Now, Tua Hater, I will say this: I'm a really good swimmer too, and I can hold my. I could probably hold my breath. Not 5 minutes like you guys can.
No,
like these
not.
Navy SEAL people are like crazy. What you do, and I respect my. It's unbelievable. Power rescue water training. I bet you can probably hold your breath. I bet you 3 minutes probably. Yeah. I used to be able to do it over around two, which is pretty good. I don't know about now.
I have no idea. You have a contest right now? That'll make for great radio.
Yeah, terrible. Neither one's breathing.
When I was on vacation earlier this year, when I snorkeled, I was down pretty good. Not, I don't think 2 minutes, but a good 90 seconds. That's not bad.
Yeah.
I just can't deal with the pressure in my ears now. After about 15 feet,
yeah.
The pressure gets to me. I've always wanted to scuba dive. I've never done that. I've snorkeled.
I've only snorkeled. I've
areas.
Never scubaed.
Yeah.
I snorkeled in Hawaii. That was beautiful.
You know that's an acronym, SCUBA.
Self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
Bam.
Bingo.
Nailed it. Speaking of other fun facts and music trivia from earlier, we're going to have music trivia movie trivia for Wikipedia later on this hour. All right, I have some more NFL stuff here, but I feel like we need to get your NFL list up and running.
Okay.
Do you have it?
Yes.
Let's do it, and then we'll have more reaction from the likes of Matt Hasselbeck and Mike Tannenbaum and Adam Schefter regarding things around the NFL. All right, your list.
My list. Top active quarterback earners
active
in the NFL.
Quarterback.
And
is
now,
this aggregate, the whole
list.
Career?
Okay. Yes. Top active quarterback earners. Number 10, top 10.
All right.
Cam Newton. $121
million. Not anymore. He's going to get passed up.
Number nine. Yeah, might be up to 122 or it might be up to 128. Nine, Joe Flacco, $166
mil.
Bet on himself and won.
Yeah, he did.
Number eight, Alex Smith, $173 mil.
How you like me now?
Good for him, and he's still working out. I don't think he wants to get back on the field. I think he wants to keep collecting that money.
Oh, I got my Kirk Cousins soundbite mixed up. How you like me now? I'll save that for later.
Number all seven, right. Your boy, Matthew Stafford, $211
million. One playoff win.
Playoff
appearance.
No. One playoff
zero
appearance.
Zero wins.
He's actually the quarterback of the franchise with the longest losing streak in the playoffs.
Yes.
Six.
0 for 1.
Phillip,
wait a minute. How many is Matthew Stafford
made? $211
million. $211 million for 10 years and nothing to show
and
for.
And no playoff wins. Not even a division.
Can't do it himself.
Right.
Six. Rivers, $218 million.
He's got a division win.
Yeah.
Couple.
Might win another one this year. That Colts team's good.
Number five.
That's a strange division.
Yeah. Okay, Jacksonville's out. Titans are tough.
But the other three,
unless
I think.
Gardner Minshew comes through. And
the other three, I think, are really good. Well, not really good. Houston, we don't really know, I guess. But, okay, let's continue. I love that division. Fun to talk about.
All right. Phillip Rivers, six, the $218 million. Number five, Aaron Rodgers, $219 million.
Yeah,
number
good.
Four, Matt Ryan, $223 million. Number three, Ben Roethlisberger, $227
million. Okay.
This is the one that cracks me up when people say, oh, Tom Brady never got paid. Tom Brady's number two, $235 million.
He's been playing for two decades.
I
how is he not number one?
Drew Brees is number
because he gives price. takes less money.
No, Drew Brees is
science.
Drew Brees is number one, but only barely at $244 million. Playing, you know, good chunk of time. Too.
Not as long as Tom Brady.
No, but close. Close.
So you're telling me Aaron Rodgers, 219, Matt Stafford, 211? Basically the same. Much different results.
Much different results.
Much.
Go ahead. Won a Super Bowl.
Super Bowl and been to a few NFC Championship games. Mm-hmm. And Matty, not so much.
Yeah.
Tua Hater writes back, it's miserable with the water training. They intentionally drown you to the point where you literally think you're about to die. Then they bring you to the surface to get you a gasp of air, and then it's right back down.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Well, I mean,
No.
I've seen it in the movie Navy SEALs, and I've seen documentaries on Navy SEALs, and I'm sure this super-duper aqua training, life-saving techniques, I mean, it's
yeah,
it'll help save your life. But my God, I mean, to almost die trying to do your job, or to try to learn a job.
Yeah. Well, there's a documentary called, I think it's called Hell Week.
Yeah.
The week of training out on the, and I don't know where the beach is. It looks somewhere on the West Coast.
Oh, you're talking about Navy SEALs?
For the Navy SEAL training?
Yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah. That's got to be the toughest thing on earth, right?
Glad they're on our side.
Yeah. That's how you weed out the
no doubt about
men
that.
For the men.
Glad they're on our side.
Yeah. Semper Fi. Get it done.
Yep. But that's
all right.
Interesting.
We have some more sound from the NFL we haven't gotten to. Matt Hasselbeck on Get Up this morning. He says players are out there running their own practices, and it goes against the union stance.
Like, how can D go to the league and be like, listen, it's not safe for our players to be working out in your facilities until you prove to us that it's a safe environment to do that? The league is going to come back and go, wait a minute, your players literally are paying to go practice with each other on high school fields that are not taking the same precautions that we would in our facilities. Give me a break. Like, I think really what these star players are doing is just weakening the union's, you know, any type of, you know, negotiating leverage the union has in terms of being really concerned about player safety when it comes of guys coming together working out. And I will say this, to me, it's kind of a pathetic look for players. Like, your workout counts if you don't video it. Like, newsflash, like, if you lift weights and don't hire somebody to video you doing it, like, you still get stronger. Like, to me, I don't know, these guys working out in chains and sunglasses, you know, have drones flying overhead. Like, how pathetic for attention are we right now? Like, yes, you need to work out. You need to get ready. But why do you need to tell the world how hard you're working? Like, that, to me, is also kind of embarrassing and a bad look.
That's a whale of a soundbite there. A lot packed in there, including the dog barking. I like it. Sounds like when Pete does a show when he's at his home. Actually, that only happened twice.
Yeah, it was good.
By the way, when he referred to D, that's D. Maurice Smith, for those of you that didn't know, the Players Union head.
Just came across another list, by the way, whenever you want to get to it.
NFL or college?
College.
Football?
Yeah.
All right, we'll get to it in a moment, because you got another college football list, right?
Of course it's football.
Okay. Here's Mike Tannenbaum, former general manager of the Miami Dolphins, who once said...
And the Jets.
And the Jets, who said Baker Mayfield is on a short list. Don't put that all on us. A short leash, anyway. Here's Jamal Adams. He says the situation there with the Jets on Golic and Wingo is getting worse.
It's really hard. And I'll tell you, you know what? Like, to me, the complicating factor in all of this, guys, is Jerry Jones. And here's why. Last year, Zeke Elliott holds out, has 2 years to go on his deal, plus they could franchise him, and they reward Zeke Elliott. And players see that, and players talk, and honestly, so do agents. And Jamal Adams is saying, like, look, Jerry Jones took care of Zeke Elliott. Why are you not taking care of me? And if I'm Joe Douglas, the GM of the New York Jets, what I'm saying is, look, you got 2 years to go. You're a great player, but I don't know if I want to pay a safety. So I think this gets stickier. And unfortunately, in New York, you know, everything is times 10. When it's good, it's times 10. When it's bad, it's times 10. When it's controversial, it's like times 110. So I think the best thing they could do is try to take the temperature down for now.
Real quick observation on this soccer game we're watching, Chris. I noticed, I've asked you this about this before. You know, they got apparently one of the officials always has a can of spray paint right there to mark where they can line up and all this on penalty kicks and whatnot, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It looked like he was pretty quick to draw the line where the guys could stand in defense. Does he get paint on their shoes?
Well, it's not paint.
Shoes?
It's not paint.
It looks like paint.
It's not.
What is it?
It's
like
fades.
It's like foam. It's like it's like shaving cream.
Oh,
it's like it's away. An evaporating foam. Yeah,
so he's not ruining a high price pair of kicks. He gets a little on it. Huh?
No, they call them boots.
Boots.
Yeah, his soccer cleats are called boots in Europe.
So
lace up your boots.
They call things weird things over there.
Well, yeah, I mean they speak different languages over there.
A lot of it. Yes.
Some of it, not all of it.
Clemson guy, I heard rumors that Mike Golic and Trey Wingo are out at ESPN. Any truth to that?
Yeah.
Well, yes, there's going to be changes.
Yeah, there's going to be changes. You
Trey Wingo.
Keyshawn Johnson is going to be doing
more. Yeah, Keyshawn's going to be part of the new morning show. Yeah,
reports.
Per reports.
Yeah,
we have no inside information.
Trey Wingo doesn't want to do the radio anymore. And Golic, I think, almost retired last time when Mike and Mike split up. So one more soundbite I want to get to here. Adam Schefter talking about how the Cam Newton signing by the Patriots was all a ruse to be timed 17 minutes from the announcement that the Patriots were fined $1 million and lost a third-round pick because of sideline TV gate in the Cincinnati Bengals game last December. Here's Schefter.
Hold on. Here he is.
Okay.
The New England Patriots admitted that something happened that shouldn't have. And while the football side of operations didn't know about it, and it was a completely separate group, in this particular case, there also was a history. And I think the NFL was put into a situation where when everybody sees that something went wrong and there's a team there with a history, the league has no choice but to step in and issue some sort of penalties. And in this particular case, the league determined that a third-round pick was fair penalty and a $1.1 million fine. Now, interestingly enough, they get a third-round compensatory draft pick next offseason, probably for the loss of Tom Brady to Tampa, makes up there. They could get a compensatory draft pick back for Cam Newton if they don't re-sign him and he goes on elsewhere. But that's on another note. The fact of the matter is the league felt like the evidence was right there and it had to send a message to a team that it had disciplined in this area before.
Okay, right. I just question. Don't tell me the NFL just came to this conclusion last night. You know, they had this information for God only knows how long. We're laughing about it when the baseball scandal thing was going on. We're just like, well, what? Just come on, say it. I mean, you're telling me they didn't just come to this conclusion last night.
They've been kind of busy over the last 3 months.
Corona.
It's still not.
What are you talking about?
Well, yeah.
Shut down the world for 120 days.
It's not a big deal to release that information a couple, two, 3 months
ago. Well, no, I'm saying maybe maybe some personnel at NFL headquarters were busy trying to put together, I don't know, pandemic plans or something like that.
Something
pandemic,
huge.
Pandemic. Could have released this a long time ago.
I don't know what to say.
Regardless.
All right.
Good.
I was going to say, that was it for football news, NFL stuff. I know you had a couple of college football.
Yeah, I got another college football. Really good list. You'd love this one. And a college football quiz, too, which is, I think, a tough one.
I think we'll do them. Now,
I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, okay. It's a tough one.
Two college football notes of import. First of all, Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach, apparently whatever they said to the state legislator helped. The state of Mississippi is getting rid. In fact, they've retired the Confederate flag emblem on their state flag. They will design a new one. Voters will vote on it on November 3rd. It must have the phrase, "In God We Trust," but not have the Confederate flag on it. That's what has been stipulated. So that worked. And this is a big story. Did you see that Under Armour over the weekend bailed on UCLA? They were 4 years into a 15-year deal.
I did see that. It's like Fox bailing on the PGA.
So this Under Armour deal with UCLA was at the time, may still be, the largest deal ever done with an athletic apparel company and a university. And they pulled four years into a 15-year deal.
$280 million, 15 years, bailed on. Their quote was, "We are paying for marketing events that we have not received over an extended time period." I mean, I don't know if this is them getting around force majeure and a pandemic.
Bang.
But I think things were troublesome even before that. UCLA is just not happening as an athletic department, football and basketball, and they weren't getting the payback.
But that
on
deal
it.
Was reached $280 million in May of 2016. It went into effect July of 2017.
But it's not like UCLA athletics took this unforeseen turn south. Like they weren't good in anything
right,
4 years ago.
Before.
They had the decent basketball team with Lonzo Ball, and other than that, they were pretty bad across the board in everything. No disrespect to our friend James Washington and his daughter, and they're fine. Softball program,
right.
But that's not why Under Armour's paying that sort of money to UCLA.
Because only the softball and baseball teams were really worth a damn. The last few years.
All right, with that as our backdrop, Pete Shepard, are you going to start us off with a quiz or a list?
Let's do a list. Let's say the quiz. The quiz is tough. I want your full attention.
Okay, so we'll warm up with a list.
All right.
And now a list.
All right, sporting news has come up with a list today of the top 25 college football programs over the past decade. That's 10 years.
Okay.
According to them.
All right.
So coming in at number 25 is Texas.
They're always in the top 20.
Yep. Overrated.
They're back. A lot, 6 winning seasons in the past 10 years. Number 26.
UCF has more than that.
Speaking of UCF, they come in at number 24.
Okay, good.
They played in the BCS Bowl and two New Year's Eve Day 6 Bowls, and their irreverence toward the power structure in college football made waves through a 25-game win streak in the college football playoff era. Mm. Number 23 is the U, Miami. For all the ups and downs, the Hurricanes still sent the 8th most players to the NFL draft in the past 10 years. That's a selling point of a program.
I don't like that.
Are we judging this by wins?
Yeah,
or how many
seriously.
People are in the
they
NFL?
Made it to one conference championship game in a decade.
Yeah. But anyway, they're 23rd. 22, Baylor. Okay. Number 21.
Art Briles, was he still there at the beginning of the decade?
Well, they made
the And then they came back with
Rule,
who's now with the Panthers.
Okay. Yep. Baylor faces new challenges under first-year coach Dave Aranda. But they're headed in the right direction, it seems. Penn State comes in at number 21.
Should be higher.
James Franklin has a 42-11 record in that stretch the past 4 years.
There was that whole Sandusky thing that kind of took that, you know.
That was pre the last 10 years.
Oh, no. That was because Christian Hackenberg within the last decade.
No, that was definitely after.
That was within the last decade because Bill O'Brien was the coach there then.
Yep.
And Bill O'Brien, he's only been at Houston for 5 years or so.
It was like 2012, right?
I thought it was before that. I remember talking about this when I was in Los Angeles, and that was like 2010.
No, I'm saying it happened in like 09, 10, whatever it was. But the sanctions that came to the to the football program affected them in the early part of the 10s.
Okay, fine.
Number 20, Texas A&M. Aggies produced 10 All-Americans in the past 10 years.
Johnny Manziel.
I'm good with that.
Yep.
Manziel, who said yesterday.
Vaughn Miller, Miles Garrett, Mike Evans,
Number 19, USC.
The Trojans or Gamecocks?
Trojans. I would not call the Gamecocks USC. Through all the coaching turnover and administrative upheaval, Trojans have been able to produce enough NFL talent to stay relevant in the Pac-12. Clay Helton led back-to-back New Year's Day 6 Bowl appearances before the past 2 years, which have been rough, as we know. Number 18, Washington. Huskies appear in the college football playoff and 2 New Year's Day 6 Bowls under Chris Peterson, who vaulted the up-and-down program to a Pac-12 power. Michigan at number 17. Wolverines 38-26 over 5 years before Jim Harbaugh arrived. He's 47-18.
0-5 against Ohio State.
Yep, was we know one loss.
You just said he's averaging 9.7 wins a year over the last 5 years. It's pretty good. Yeah.
But what are the good ones?
Not many. Couple. Not many. Certainly not against Ohio State or top 10 teams. We know that. Oklahoma State comes in at number 16. Cowboys have enjoyed consecutive winning seasons under the man, Mike Gundy.
What do they rank?
16.
All right.
Number 15, Boise State, America's team. Broncos, the highest ranked Group of 5 program. Reputation extends back to Chris Peterson era.
They just shut down their entire athletic department, sadly.
Number 14, Michigan State. By the way, they just got the number one player in the country to go there.
Basketball.
Amone Bates out of Ipsy Prep.
And he will not play second for the Spartans.
How about half a season? No?
Nope.
Going straight to the NBA.
Spartans were more of a power in the front half of the 2010s under Mark D'Antonio. That peaked with the college football playoff appearance in 2015. God. Think about that.
I was at that game. They didn't score a point.
Wow. What did they play in that game? 2000?
Alabama.
Well, if he was there,
was at Jerry's place.
Oh. Yeah. Number 13, Florida. Same spot as last season.
Go Gators!
Room to up for Dan Mullen, third-year coach, has led the Gators to back-to-back New Year's Day 6 wins. Number 12, Notre Dame.
What have they done?
Why is because the Irish did make a playoff championship appearance and a college football playoff appearance as part of an undefeated regular season.
But
Alabama and Clemson provided show that it takes to Irish are 33-6 the past 3 years have produced the 11th most NFL draft picks. Number 11, Stanford. Decade started with a 12-1 season under Jim Harbaugh, and David Shaw has for the most part, maintained the consistency.
Christian McCaffrey was nice. Yep. You had Andrew Luck. Was he?
You had Solomon Thomas, who was a top 3 pick.
Top 10 is Auburn, last program with a national championship in the past 10 years on this list, and Gus Malzahn continues to manage a program whose status fluctuates on a year-to-year basis. Number 9, Georgia.
Ha!
Shut up. The Bulldogs, continued to move up this list with each season. Kirby Smart.
I was waiting for it. There was no way they were top four.
To a 36-7 record, three straight SEC East Division title seasons.
There was no way.
Number eight was Canton. Badgers have produced as many All-Americans as Ohio State the past 10 years.
Go Bucky Badger.
Number seven is Oregon.
Ducks.
Significant drop off from the top six, but the Ducks have a program that is inching closer to the big table under Mario Cristobal. Number six, Florida State. Seminoles rebuilding with Mike Norvell now, but it's easy to forget the easy early decade dominance under Jimbo Fisher. FSU won the last bowl championship series, national title under Fisher, and the Seminoles had a 29-game win streak during that stretch. Number five, LSU. Speaks for itself. Number four, Oklahoma. Sooners are at a minimum at New Year's Day 6 regular. They have four playoff appearances under Bob Stoops and Lincoln Riley. Number three, Ohio State. Buckeyes have put together an amazing 8-year stretch with Urban Meyer and Ryan Day. Ohio State has just lost one Big Ten home game in that stretch. A loss to Michigan State back in 2015 that prevented a playoff run.
Wow.
That was your year Michigan State, the game you were at, lost to Alabama.
Huh, how about that?
How about that?
Number three. Number two, Clemson. Blah, 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 blah. And number one, Alabama. Blah, 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 blah. Nick Saban led Alabama to four or five national championships the past decade. Crimson Tide played for a national championship six times in 10 years. Very impressive.
All right. I got a sticky pad. When we do this list again in the year 2030, looking back at the past decade, the 2020s, Indiana cracks your top 25.
No, get out of here.
Sticky pad it right now.
Absolutely not.
Fine. I will.
Sticky pad it.
This is going to be the most ridiculous thing. You know what?
No.
Can we sandwich bet it so you have to pay the Hugh Freeze, John Gruden bet the same day you got
Rick write down? Didn't Rick write it? You said something Friday that was crazy, too.
I did.
Rick wrote it down. See if you can find it. I forget what he said. I think it was around 240.
I can't remember what it was. I did say something outrageous.
I thought Rick wrote it down.
No, I don't think he did.
He didn't write anything down.
Yeah, what was it? I was just trying to think of that right before.
What did you say? As I said, that's definitely sticky pad material.
I know. I made a bold prediction. Dang it.
Oh, I was way off.
You know what? Our listeners are pretty good at this.
Yeah.
If anybody remembers Friday's show, I made an outrageous prediction on Friday's show, but we didn't write it down. I need to know what it was. Somebody can help me out.
I think it was around 230.
Text it in at 239-337 ESPN. I'll bet you somebody in our audience knows. They're pretty good at that. All right, Pete Shepard, your college football quiz. We'll have to wait till the other side of the break when we come back.
That's fine.
Also, I was almost giddy this morning when I saw, for the first time in over 3 months, we have NBA point spreads on the big board.
Yep.
We shall discuss all that coming up in just a little bit. Don't forget Wikipedia right around the corner. It's a movie trivia today. And I also want you to take a toll of your insurance situation, not only with your homeowner's hazard insurance and your auto insurance, but don't forget the flood insurance. We are smack dab in the middle of hurricane season right now, and you got to take care of yourself. Get a little peace of mind with flood insurance, with Farmers Insurance. Call my good friend Damon Brist, Farmers Insurance, today. Bundle and save. Get it all together. It's not just about home and auto, but also flood. It doesn't cost that much. Peace of mind. It'll help you out. And a lot of you have to have it because of your mortgage companies, depending on where you are and what zone you're in. But you got to have it for the peace of mind. Damon Brist, Farmers Insurance, the fastest growing farmers agency in the country and the largest farmers agency in Southwest Florida. His phone number is 239-202-2933. 239-202-2933. Damon Brist Agency, your Farmers Insurance connection. I have switched my personal policies over to him. Have you switched yet?
One of them thinks cooking is cool. The other thinks white tube socks are. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN. This is Pitbull, Pete Shepard.
Oh.
Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN.
This is one of Pete's favorite songs.
Why is it his favorite? Crank it.
All I'm on fire. I've heard this before.
You said you came back from your cruise and said that this was one of your favorite songs.
That's right. It was. Yep. Even on the snorkeling cruise you went on, bleep faced.
And if I do remember correctly, that was on Leap Day.
Oh, really?
February 29th.
Yes.
Yeah, because you had a female propose to the male on your day, and that's a thing on Leap Day.
Yep.
Your memory is
like a steel trap, Sheeman, like a steel trap.
Did happen, yeah.
Dumpster Fire says Georgia will beat Indiana in the 2030 National Championship, and Craig will have a nervous breakdown because not only did Indiana lose, but Georgia will finally finish above the top five.
Well, it kind of got me to go back on our board over here and look at some of the ridiculous things that we've said over the past however long. And I think I win.
Yes.
With the most ridiculous.
Well, and it is.
I was clearly feeling
bravado,
high.
Generous.
After the NFL draft. It was a little after, but a few weeks.
Oh, yeah. You were obnoxiously enthusiastic.
On May 19th at 2:34, I said the Dolphins are going to win the most games in the league over the next decade.
That's right.
You did say that.
Probably going to be wrong.
It couldn't be. Well... It depends how many years it takes them to become, elite. That's what you got to do. You got to be elite and you got to stay there. You can't just be good.
Craig said on February 5th of this year at 3:38 that Georgia will not get past number 5 in the final regular season college football rankings by 2022. So we got 2 years on that one. Mm-hmm. He also said on May the 5th at 5:39 into the show, you were trying to just hang on at this point. Nick Foles will be the starter week one. That was one Craig Sheen.
Is that outrageous?
I think it is.
I don't think that's
outrageous. Over Mitchell Trubisky?
I don't think
Trubisky's job to lose.
I don't think that's outrageous. That is.
The only thing hindering that is when training camp gets cut in half because of coronavirus, maybe they'll just go with Trubisky because he knows the system,
I think turmoil is a distinct possibility unless whoever wins a starting job really takes over and does it. Otherwise, that's got split rock locker room written all over it.
Pete Shepard on April 21st at 5:21 said Jason Light and Bruce Arians are going to win executive and coach of the year in the NFL. I just wanted to throw a Pete Shepard line in there.
That's pretty accurate. The potential to be very accurate, actually.
Well, they all have potential to be accurate. It's the likelihood of them being accurate. Yeah.
He threw that in at me. Balanced and fair. Give each one of us a hot take.
Balanced and fair. How about Fox bailing on golf? I guess PGA was pissed at Fox. They're going back to NBC. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, they're gonna spend about as much money as they were going to spend anyway, Fox. So it didn't make a lot of sense from a business standpoint. The only thing I can think of is especially now, will that be the case for the U.S. Open this year?
U.S. Open's going to be NBC this year.
So what I was thinking this year, so Fox this fall is going to have the Baseball World Series. They're going to have, assuming that we play, they're going to have NFL football. They're going to have the World Cup as well.
Yeah, and the PGA did not want to be second fiddle to be put on FS1, but there's still going to be golf, I believe, on FS1 anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And remember that deal with the USGA is not just the U.S. Open. It's the Women's U.S. Open. It's the seniors. It's the U.S. Amateur. And I think there's one more.
See, I still keep forgetting there are certain parts of the country that still people don't have cable. And FS1 is not a big deal for 90% of us because it's all part of basic cable. Yeah. But it's a big deal for other people. Sometimes you have to pay extra, even if it's $1 for this or $5 a month for extended sports. I'm not sure that's part of it or not, but that's the reason they were upset because they were going to have to move some of the PGA events to FS1. Mm-hmm. But
golfers don't like second fiddle.
Yeah, too bad.
All right, Pete Shepard, I believe you had a quiz for us, and we are quickly running out of time here. We got this. We got Wikipedia around the corner. Let's do it. I'm feeling spry.
All right.
This is a quiz.
I would predict you get one of these right.
Okay.
Is that all?
Challenge accepted.
So the over-under is one.
The over-under is one.
Well, we got five questions?
Yep. So again, been paying attention. I've had going through last two editions of named the top returning quarterback.
Oh, this is receiver?
Yes.
Oh.
So for today's quiz, let's see if you can name the receivers returning this season who led each Power 5 conference in touchdowns, not in touchdowns,
right,
in 2019. If you can get a bonus, if you can guess how many.
These aren't returning receivers. These are...
Yes, they are returning receivers. They are returning receivers. Gotcha. These are the returning receivers. Let's start... Let's go front to back. Let's go ACC first.
Okay, ACC.
And I'll tell you what's a tie between two players.
Leading receiver.
This is touchdowns. Strictly just touchdowns, not yards. This is all about touchdowns.
So my thought is to go Justin Ross from Clemson. But Clemson didn't have a ton of passing touchdowns last year. Like, it might be a guy from North Carolina or Virginia. I know they scored a lot of points last year. Miami didn't. Florida State didn't. I'll go Justin Ross just because I think that's the only guy I can name right now.
I'm kind of in the same boat as Chris. I'm thinking ACC and SEC and all the guys that just went into the NFL. So returning guys, nobody's coming to mind here.
The answer is 12 touchdowns, a tie between Diami Brown of North Carolina, or Diami, and Chetarius Atwell of Louisville.
Okay, yeah.
With 12.
See, I said maybe...
0% chance of getting
any of
those
maybe
right.
A North Carolina guy. Yeah, I know that they scored a lot through the air, but okay.
All right, now Big 12. Again, this is a tie. 8 touchdowns apiece. This is a tie. Again, returning receivers with the most touchdowns in 2019 in the Big 12.
Do we go Oak State or Oklahoma?
No, Texas. Ellinger threw for a lot of touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
I'll say the kid Eagle from Texas.
Craig, any guesses?
Can I just pick a school because I can't think of a name?
Yeah.
I'm going Oklahoma.
Wrong and wrong. Talon Wallace from Oklahoma State.
Oh, that was my favorite.
And Stephon Robinson Jr. of Kansas.
Kansas. Eight touchdowns. Less miles.
Get out of here.
8 touchdowns.
Less throw on the rock.
I know I'm going to get the SEC, but that's the only one I think I'm going to get right.
All right, Big Ten. the rest of them all hold on one. The Big Ten, this one led with 11 touchdowns, returning with 11 touchdowns. Crickets.
This is a tough category.
Great year last year for them. See if they can continue it.
DJ Moore.
No. It's not Ohio State. It's not Michigan or Michigan State or Penn State or Indiana or Purdue.
All right, you just mentioned 6 schools.
Wisconsin?
Not Wisconsin.
How about Maryland? Didn't they?
Maryland had a lot of touchdowns. Yes.
Yeah.
Now,
wrong.
Get me to name a Maryland wide receiver, and that's where the problem.
All right, so we're wrong. We're down to 7.
Not Rutgers either.
I
8.
Nebraska didn't have a good year.
9.
Nope. Minnesota had a really good year.
Minnesota is the school with 11 touchdowns. It's a Rashad Bateman.
Who knew?
Rashad Bateman. Pac-12. With 7 touchdowns, one person.
I have no idea.
Chris?
I got no clue. I got no clue.
Was he at Washington State?
No.
I'm out of ideas.
Warmer state.
Arizona State.
Yes, but not Arizona State. Frank Darby, 7 touchdowns.
Not in a
million
years. Way
to go, Frank.
This is the only one that I would have got. SEC.
Justin Jefferson.
No.
Close. Really?
Close.
Hold on.
This one had
Jamar
20.
Chase. Jamar Chase. Jamar I got my LSU receivers confused.
Jamar Chase, 20 touchdowns.
Justin Jefferson's in the NFL, so that was a null and void answer anyway.
Yep. Jamar Chase.
It's all right. Very difficult. Now, with your NCAA quizzes, we've covered every category now the last 5 weeks, yes? Running backs, quarterbacks, wide receivers?
Yeah, there's always all right. You never know.
Leading sack getter.
Yeah. Interceptions.
Just hang on. Just be patient. You won't know until Monday at 2 o'clock.
Okay. Very good. All right. More trivia. This time you, the listener, can participate. It's movie trivia for Wikipedia. Right now, we need caller number 9. So if you're a movie buff and you want to participate, what we got? Papa John's on the line again today?
Yes, sir.
All right. Some free Papa John's pizza for caller number 9. Take on Pete Shepard, movie trivia, Wikipedia. 239-337 ESPN, 239-337-3776. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
think you got what it takes to stump the Shep? Shooter, shoot. And here's your shot. It's Wikipedia.
All right, caller number 9 is Ernie from Fort Myers. Ernie, welcome. How are you Ernie. Today?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys doing?
Good. Very good. Ernie, how old are you?
53.
And right. Are you? Do you consider yourself a movie buff?
I don't know. Maybe. Oh. I don't keep up that much, but I'll do my best.
Let's find out as you take on Pete Shepard. First one to 3 correct answers is a winner. And Ernie, you get to go first. Here is your question. What was the first movie from Pixar?
So I'm going to guess Toy Story?
Yes! Nicely done!
Very good.
All right.
Back in 1999, you have a 1-0 lead. Pete Shepard, your first question. What kind of flower was enchanted and dying in the movie Beauty and the Beast?
It was a rose.
That is correct. All right, we are tied at 1. I feel like we've warmed up. Let's get to it here. Ernie, what is the first rule of Fight Club?
The first rule of Fight Club?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. I'm going to guess. I never really watched it. I'm going to guess no biting.
No, close.
It's a good rule.
Yeah. I believe it is don't talk about Fight
Club. You don't
Club.
Talk about Fight. If you want to be in Fight Club, you can't talk about Fight Club.
That's right.
All right. It's a Brad Pitt movie. All right.
And Ed Norton, yeah.
We are still tied at 1. Pete Shepard, this question is for you. Mm-hmm. What movie has the quote, "Here's looking at you, kid"?
Casablanca.
That is true. Did we talk about Casablanca on Friday about something? I can't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was one of the worst TV series based off of the movie that was canceled in the 50s.
All right. Pete Shepard has a 2-1 lead. Ernie.
Yeah.
What is the name of Rocky Balboa's dog?
A dog?
Yeah.
Oh, man. The dog. Oh. You should have said his wife.
everybody knows that.
Oh, man. I don't remember the name of the dog. Let's call him. Snap his dog. I don't know, Butch.
All right, that's correct.
Not
close.
Bad. Buckus.
Buckus. It just started with a B.
He actually adopted that dog in real life.
That is his dog.
He had to sell the dog.
He had to sell the dog.
Bought it back. When
and then
rich.
Bought it back after the script was written,
All right, let's see here. Pete Shepard for the win.
Yep.
What fictional country do the Hunger Games take place in?
Oh, God, I forget. I forget. I'm not going to win. I forgot. It's like, I don't know, Jasmineville.
All right. Ernie, do you have a chance to steal here? Do you know the name of the fictional country the
Good
Hunger
movies.
Games took place in?
No. Let's see. The fictional name is Battleland. I don't know.
Battleland?
You know, he's making a good effort here. I like his guesses. Panem is the name of the country.
Panem.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I wouldn't have got that in a million years. I totally forgot.
I didn't care
for those
me.
Movies.
They're good movies.
I don't like them. What? I don't like the concept of children killing other children.
That's fair.
Jennifer Lawrence is in it. That's all I have to know.
She was like 12 at the time.
No, she wasn't.
All right. Let's see. Ernie, this one's for you. Your chance to get back into this and tie. If you could tell me, what is the name of the possessed hotel in the film The Shining?
Oh, shoot. I don't know.
I love his guesses.
I know this one.
I'm going to guess it's the Hotel in The Shining.
Motel 6.
He's worse than Pete.
The Graceland, man. I don't know.
No, it's the Overlook.
The Overlook Hotel is correct, but Pete doesn't get a point for it. All right, Pete Shepard. This is a layup for Pete for the win.
Never know.
What was the name of the boat in Jaws?
Oh, God. Ooh. Oh, with the one that got chowed down at the end.
He sure did.
Oh my God. Was it Orca?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Winner.
Pete Shepard, winner. Pizza dinner.
Yeah. They give you the easy one.
That wasn't easy.
I thought that one might be easy, but.
No, the hard one was the Hunger Games. That's a tough one. Yeah.
Listen, Ernie, we're still going to take good care job, of you. Ernie. Thanks for being a good sport. I enjoyed your guesses.
Okay.
All right, be good, man. Thank you. Appreciate that. That was hilarious.
Just real quick, Kyler Murray, the latest. He and looks like 20 of his teammates got together for a little exercise.
There you go. Got to work out.
Larger than a group
of
10.
As usual, Florio was outraged as usual. Shut up, Mike. Mm. Get a life. Get out of your freaking hermit home in West Virginia.
He's always outraged.
He said, outraged about it. Get out of your house in West Virginia, you freaking hermit. Live, damn it.
He's a curmudgeon.
He is.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, let's see. I got two more questions here. Let's
see if you can,
oh, this is good. This is one of my favorite movies of all time. How many children are there in the Von Trapp family in The Sound of Music?
Oh, God. I told you, one of those kids was in the Brady Bunch in a later episode that was Peter's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Jeez. Five?
No. Seven.
Really?
Seven children.
I don't like that movie.
I love it.
Don't like it.
I love how he blows the whistle and the kids line up. And I told my wife, when we have kids, that's how we're going to roll.
How'd that work out?
She even bought me the boatswain whistle as a joke.
YouTube the Family Guy episode with that in it. It is hysterical. The kids go to bed
Needless
that way.
Say it didn't work in my family. Nobody listens to me at all.
Would you with a whistle and singing on the way to?
Yeah, sounds delightful. With the exception of the World War II thing going on.
Right.
Dear father.
All right, final. Attempting to explain himself to Donkey, Shrek compares himself to what food item?
Oh, God.
He has layers. What has layers?
A cake.
All right, that's the worst answer ever in the history.
No, that's funny because Donkey says when he uses this, he goes, well, cakes have layers.
Oh,
he says, no, I'm not a cake. And then Donkey goes on to parfait. And he goes, no, it's not parfait.
Now, Pete, did you see Shrek? Because you're...
I have seen almost the whole thing. I have not really...
There's like three of them.
I know. I've only seen one partially.
They're excellent movies.
I'm not saying they're not. I just, it's, you know, not my thing. What was the answer?
Onion.
Oh, okay.
Onions.
All right. Peel back the layers.
Ogres
like
have layers like onions.
And they have feelings inside those layers.
Mm-hmm. Well, they don't. Okay.
What? What do you mean, okay? Yes. All right. Coming up, more on Cam Newton, more on NBA betting lines available in Vegas, baby. The world is slowly getting back to normal. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.